Having finished the second letter of the Apostle Peter, we want to start now studying the letter of Jude, because the letter of Jude and 2 Peter, they complement each other in the same topics. And we're going to be reading verses 1 and verse 2.
Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you.
Thank you. And the title of the sermon is Apostasy, We Are in the Last Days. So, our first point is that apostasy is a mark of the last days. And we said last time that the last days started with the first coming of Jesus, and will go up to his second coming in power. In verse 18 of this letter of Jude, we read that Jude says that mockers and scoffers were to come in this last days. If you could turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. We'll read a few verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3, between verse 1 and 5, we'll read some verses.
But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come.
Thank you. Notice again, the last days. And Paul will also describe this type of individuals in the same way that Peter has done and Judah will do.
For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away.
So, an apostate, it's a false Christian. Someone who professed to be a Christian, but his lifestyle, her lifestyle, and teaching denies that. That's why it's easier to remember that an apostate is a false apostle. Writing to the Corinthians, second letter, chapter 11, verse 13, Paul says, those are false apostles. They are liars. They masquerade, they disguise themselves as apostles of Christ, but they are false, they are fakes. And Jude helps us to understand that we are to judge those individuals whose lifestyle denies the gospel that they say they believe. It is very interesting, as you see in our outline inside your bulletin, that not one, not two, but three times Jude calls them ungodly. Paul says they have more pleasure in their passions and desires than in God and the truth. When we read verse 1, Jude starts stating that he is a servant of Jesus Christ, a bond servant, literally a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Peter said the same thing. Jude is going to show us that those pretenders, the apostates, the false apostles, only pretend to serve Christ, but in truth, they are out there just to serve themselves, looking for numero uno. But Jude says, I am a servant. I'm under the authority of the Lord Jesus. And you either are or you are not. And he says you cannot serve two masters. You can only serve one at a time. Writing to the Romans, chapter 16, verse 18.
For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple.
See, their purpose is not to serve the Lord, but to serve themselves. They're usually very charismatic. They speak very well. They put out a nice show. They show man, show woman. But the purpose, it's not to communicate truth, is to manipulate their audience with their smooth words. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, Peter says, Jude says, they serve themselves and their passions. Their supposedly gospel, it's only a means of manipulation of the audience. So all these warnings about the false apostles, the apostates, those who profess faith, but with their lifestyle they deny it. There is a reason why Paul was word, and John was word, and Peter, as we study, was word, and now Jude is also word. When you read the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the Lord Jesus sends seven letters to seven churches. This is within the first century. And to five of those seven, Jesus says, repent. False teachers, false doctrine had already entered the church. And everything we see propagate today, in one way or another, is only a branch out, a ramification of those same false teachings of the first century. As plenty of reasons for Jude to be worried. This letter of Jude also chronologically follows 2 Peter. There are common threads and themes between 2 Peter and Jude. That's why we're studying them together. Some verses, for instance, verse 17 and 18 here, it's almost a repetition of 2 Peter 3:3. Common concerns. Jude was a very common name. Comes from Judah. So there was gazillions of Judas or Jude among the Jews. Now, do you think Antonio and Maria is common among us? So was Jude among them. In the New Testament, there is at least eight different men in the New Testament alone called Jude or Judas. This is not Judas the traitor. And it is a kind of divine irony that this man, Jude, who points the finger at false teachers and false teaching, has the same name of that false apostle called Judas. He says, this is Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James. If you pay attention to that and you go back to the Gospels, you know that Mary had by Joseph a few boys and girls, and one of them was called James. That comes with the name the brother of our Lord. So Jude says, I'm the brother of James. So he's a half-brother of the Lord Jesus by way of Joseph. So Jude says, I am the bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, if Jesus is not your Lord, he cannot be your Savior. Let me repeat it. There is, and there has been for many, many decades, a false gospel among evangelicals that say, you come to Jesus to be saved, and then some other day, you dedicate your life again, and it becomes your Lord. That doctrine, it's a false gospel, has nothing to do with the Word of God. Either Jesus is Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. In the Bible, He's always called the Lord Jesus. When Peter taught us in his second letter, he says that these apostates, one thing they do is that they deny that He is Lord. Verse 4, they deny God, the only ruler and our Lord Jesus Christ. So my question today is Jesus your Lord? He cannot just save you and you live for yourself. That's no such a thing in the Bible. Either He is your Lord and Savior or He is not anything. Secondly, we look at His audience, the recipients of this letter. The reason why Jude is writing this letter is to encourage these brothers and sisters not to falter, not to doubt, not to be shaken by these false prophets and their doctrines. And because of that, he starts off this letter encouraging them in the faith, reminding them what they already have because they are in Jesus. That what they already have is much superior to anything these false apostles have to offer. And my friends, if we're going to resist apostates and apostasy, is first of all by understanding who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. And when you understand that, you understand that anything out there that these guys want to give you and not to you, like Paul said, is rubbish compared to Christ and what you have because you are in Jesus. First of all, Jude tells them, verse number one, that they have been called. They are the called ones. That's a beautiful word. We have been called to belong to Him. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9.
Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Amen. He has called us with a holy calling. What a privilege it to be a child of God. You cannot improve on that one. And Paul reminds us that this call has been planned in eternity past. He's secure in God. Not in your performance. Secure in Him. The root word for the word church is the word called. The Greek word ekklesia, it's two words together. Called out. So the word church literally means the called out ones. The ones who are called out of the world to belong to His kingdom. That's what the word church means. The called out ones. So, remember, we are the called out ones. I wish I had enough time to go through all that. Turn with me to John chapter 10, please. Now you understand that God's holy calling from eternity past, it's just part of that beautiful doctrine that we call the election of the saints. We are His elect, His called out ones. The Lord Jesus is going to explain this doctrine of election and calling with very simple, basic illustration.
To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
He came into the fold of Judaism. He called out for his sheep. Not all responded, but his sheep responded. These are the called out ones, the elected. They came out of Judaism. And he continues to call his sheep to himself. And they follow him. They know his voice. He hears the Lord. He is not following them. They following him. He is Lord. We always teach the beautiful doctrine of election and calling because it's in the Bible. And we always teach human responsibility because it's in the Bible. In your mind, they may seem that they go in opposite directions. In God's mind, they go together. So, as Spurgeon says, don't ever try to reconcile friends. One day in eternity, you will understand. Spurgeon used to explain this to seemingly opposite doctrines with a beautiful illustration. And he used to say, one day I came near the narrow gate of salvation. I was outside looking at the gate. And I saw above the gate those words that said, whosoever will. And I entered the narrow gate of salvation. I entered. And after crossing to the other side, I turned and looked back. And above the gate, only to be seen in the inside, said, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But only from the inside could I see that. We are called. We are the called out ones. Secondly, Jude says in verse 1, we are loved of the Father. Do you have any doubts? Look at the cross. God so loved you that He gave His life for you. The reason of the call is the love of God. Remember in 2 Timothy we read that He called us not because of our works. No. It has nothing to do with that. He didn't call based on what you're going to be or become in the future. No. He called you despite of that. Paul reminds us that when He called us, we were dead in sins and trespasses. In Romans chapter 5, He says we were His enemies when He loved us. We are loved. And you cannot improve on that. It doesn't matter what that false apostle promises you. You cannot improve on that. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, before Moses brings the people of God into the land. He knew that their proud hearts were thinking, well, we come into this special land because we are better than those that lived in the land. And God told Moses, go tell my people and tell them that I have chosen you and I have promised you the land and I'm going to bring you the land. Not because you're better than any nation, but because the Lord Almighty loved you. That's it. There's no place for pride. There's no place for me to say, I am saved, so I'm better than that guy, than my neighbor that beats his wife, than that guy that is in jail. Paul the Apostle says, I am what I am because of God's grace, and that's it. So salvation, if I understand it like Jude is explaining, cannot make me a proud person, but a humble person. Because He called me and He loved me, not because of anything I've done, but despite my life and my lifestyle. And the Lord Jesus, John chapter 13 says, having loved His own, He loved them to the uttermost. We are not just called, we are not just loved, but we are kept secure in the hands of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if we would go back again to John chapter 10, on verse 27 and 28, Jesus says, and I know my sheep, they hear my voice, they follow me, I give them eternal life, and no one can pluck them away from my hand. No one. We are kept by Jesus Christ. What Christ secured at the cross, the Father protects through His power. Did you notice this? Called, loved, protected. Not only that, you notice that was protected, secured by the Son, called by the Father. But who does the calling? The Spirit, through the Word. The last page of your Bible says these words. To anyone who hears, the Spirit says, come. He's calling. And He's calling you today through His Word. Calling you to come to the cross, to the Savior. Will you answer? In this perfect plan of salvation, the Spirit calls. The Father has loved you, and the Son secures your salvation and keeps you as the Good Shepherd. It is the plan of the Triune God. How could apostates and false prophets present anything better? That's where the faith of the readers has to be. That's where my faith and my trust, so I won't be shaken, is in what the Lord has done for me, not what you're doing for you, or Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so can do for you, but in what the Lord Almighty Triune God has done for you. There and there alone should rest your hope. And in these days of apostasy, what you need to know is not what missionary so-and-so has promised you in the church down the road, or prophetess so-and-so, or the apostle so-and-so somewhere is promising you, but it's for you to grow in the knowledge of what Jesus and the Triune God has done for you. There and there alone can you rest secure and safe. So as Jude says, let us remember who we are and what the Lord Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit have done for us. Shall we stand and pray? If you have not yet come and trust in Jesus as your Savior, remember He still calls and is calling you to the cross and to repentance.